I want to take just the next few minutes and hit a few of the high spots as we think about the outlook, the data, the information that the staff has presented, and try to put a bow around a few of the things that we've laid out and emphasize a few key points as we look down the road. Brett, I think, covered this very quickly. We've got smaller supplies globally. We have smaller supplies here at the U.S. level. Kevin talked about the situation we have from a demand standpoint. We all understand that we have populations that are growing rapidly. Just envision that, 700 million more people globally to feed in the next decade. I have a hard enough time thinking about 27 million more people in the U.S. here in the next decade. So smaller supplies, growing populations, growing incomes, opportunity. The demand side, Kevin talked about it, it's improving. We're going to take a conservative view, as he said, but we do think we've got the stage set that we're going to continue to see GDP growth here in the U.S., albeit that we may be in a situation that we have high unemployment for yet another couple of years. But we do think we have the train back on the track and we're going to see some additional growth. I think we look at those things, we can all get the picture. That picture's been there. I think we've all understood that we've had a very favorable situation the last couple of years. As I said earlier, if we could just get the demand piece of it to come into focus for us, and that's happened from both an export standpoint and domestic demand. But it's not just cattle prices that we see at these record high levels. If you go down this list, all of these markets that I have listed here in front of you are all either at or very near all-time highs. You don't see corn on that list. You don't see beans on that list. And yet we all know that those things are close to it. We just haven't got to the same extreme levels that we did in 2008. But I think as Mike went through the grain outlook, you all understand that this grain market with these world supplies the way they are, it can still be very, very dynamic. I can't imagine operating in this business today by not having a portion of this grain tied down as we're moving forward making marketing decisions. It's just going to be critical. To think that we had corn prices back in here July 1. 7 months ago today, corn prices were sitting here at basically $3.50 a bushel. And in some regions today, we're over $7 a bushel. There could easily be another dollar a bushel up in this corn before it's all said and done. Who knows where it may go? And I think that's the important thing that we all need to understand. We don't know how high some of these things can get. We don't know really what extreme can be because we haven't seen some of these world supplies depleted to the levels that they are today. I know as I talk with so many of you around the industry, regardless of what hat you wear, whether you're a cow-calf operator, a stocker, cattle feeder, a farmer, these credit needs, this is a big deal. The amount of money it takes to operate in this business today. Just compared to 2 years ago, we're up about 30%. Go back compared to where we were earlier in this decade, the amount of money it takes to operate, 85% more money. Is that going to lead to more consolidation in this business because of the amount of money that it takes? Have you continued to cultivate that relationship with your lender or lenders? They're a key partner in this. They're a key partner in it, and I think we really have to grasp that concept as we move down the road. Think about this volatility from just managing the risk. How much money it takes just to manage the margin calls, let alone just the operations piece of the business. It's very, very, very real. And something I think our industry is going to have to continue to figure out ways that we can access the necessary amount of capital to operate effectively down the road. You think about the price levels that Kevin just laid out. We put this together more conceptually for you to think about. Regardless, if we go back and we're selling cattle at $70 on an annual average back in here 25 years ago, we're talking about $1.05 today. The range in prices from lows to highs, if you look at it over the last 40 years, it averages 21%. It's a 21% range from high to low within the course of the year. If we're sitting here with fed cattle prices averaging somewhere in here between $1 and $1.10 here over the next several years, look how much more variation we have, or exposure or risk that we have, increased risk per head, if you will, in that environment. Yes, it's opportunity, but it's also risk and volatility. And we believe that's very real, not just on the cattle side of it, but also on the grain side of it, as we think about all of these input costs basically moving to higher and higher levels as well. Kevin talked about the markets relative to what they're reaching out there, and the market's job is to reach out here and move this supply. And I want us just to have a perspective. Yes, we're friendly to the market. That foundation is there. But if we look at our market today with what the futures market is pricing in, I've got an October example for you. The October futures today are trading $12 a hundred higher than where they normally would be this week. What are they trying to do? They're trying to attract supply, aren't they? And as grain prices move higher, they have to move higher with them in order to trump that increasing cost of gain. I hear people say, well, we don't like all of this fund participation, new equity in these futures markets. We have to understand it's that new equity that's allowing these back months to move to high enough levels that even though we're talking about corn approaching $7 a bushel, think about if we'd had $7 bushel corn 10 years ago. We'd be talking about calf prices in here at 60 or 70 cents. But because of the way the markets work today, to where we price that in the back end, even though we have $7 corn, we're talking about record high calf prices, record high feeder cattle prices. That volatility, that volume of participation in these futures markets is critical for us as we move down the road to be able to lay off the risk in these markets. A good perspective, another way to look at it is look what we've put into the back end. We've had a cash market that's been at basically $1.08, and most of these deferred contracts have approached $1.20. So they're doing their job as far as trying to move this supply around. As we look at the overall price pattern here the next several years, we think basically we're going to be in a pattern in here that we move into this higher range. We're going to have fed cattle prices that are going to trade in here from the low to mid-90s. Will be, for the all practical purposes, that's going to catch the lows, and we'll see prices up in here up around 120 over this next 2, 3, 4 years when we're making our highs. That's probably a little bit rich for this year, but as we make that transition and we continue to probe and see these price levels or these supplies tighten up, we'll see these prices navigate to a little higher levels. From a calf market standpoint, this level in here at about $1.25, basis of 5, 5.5 weight calf, I think that's going to be a very, very good foundation for us here for the next several years. And we'll see calf prices get as high up in here as the annual averages on these 5, 5.5 weights, up closer to $1.70, $1.75, somewhere in that level, assuming those fed cattle forecasts are relatively close. So we're going to be in a situation that we should start to see some equity return back in here to the cow-calf operators. I believe we'll start to see some signs of expansion show up here over the course of the next 12 to 18 months. In summary, ag land values are going to continue to increase. We've seen a nice pop in them in a number of these areas. I expect that we'll see that continue. These gross farm incomes are on the rise. The productivity gains that we've talked about with increasing carcass weights, I know a lot of you don't want to hear it, but we see no reason that they aren't going to continue to move higher, more along that trend line increase of nearly 6 pounds a year here for the next several years. And as we've talked, we think these export markets will continue to increase. Our staff pulled this data together as we were mining the data this week after the USDA's inventory report. And this just gives you a perspective of where these cow numbers have changed in here over the last 5-6 years. I want you to focus on that Midwest region. Cow numbers, beef cow numbers down 14% in that region. Makes sense, doesn't it? A lot of those lands that could be moved back into, whether it's corn production, soybean production, whatever it may be, we lost because of the incomes that could be generated through cropping relative to livestock. And that's going to be a challenge for us in a number of these areas in here over the next several years as we look at record high commodity prices in these various regions of the country. I think as you think about where we are and the things that we've gone through today, I've got a good friend a lot of you know, Dr. Michael Swanson with Wells Fargo, and I love his quote as we have right up here on the front, it's going to be easy to be wrong. I think we need to all internalize that. It's going to be easy to be wrong. You may not be wrong, but these markets can move, and they can move with a lot of power in a very, very short period of time. It's not a matter of getting all of it. It's a matter of having a plan. Having a plan, having a specific objective, and saying, hey, when I can meet these profit objectives, I'm going to take it, I'm going to put it in the bank, and go on down the road. And I think as we move into the most volatile time that I've ever seen in the 30-plus years that I've looked at these markets, I think we all need to figure out where that risk, what that risk tolerance is within each of our businesses. We've got to focus on that margin. We've covered the situation, how we have to develop that relationship with our lenders and continue to develop that. Obviously, as we think about these record high prices, it doesn't necessarily mean record high profits. It does for cow-calf operators to some degree, but when you think about the increased cost of production, the increased cost of production in this industry today is nearly $250 a head more today than it was back earlier in the decade. $250 from the time we go from the cow-calf man up to the feed yard level because of these increased costs of feed that we have to go through these animals. So it's going to be a good time. It's going to be some great opportunities. There's going to be a lot of volatility.